Hello, College of Pharmacy. We are back with another episode. Aren't we all excited that it's fall? I know I am. Our next episodes will be a little different from the previous ones. We will be having a series of residency and fellowship episodes. As residency and fellowship applications are opening up, the pressure is sinking in. But we got you. We have brought in several speakers to give some insight and about the ins and outs of residency applications, from CVs to interviews to letters of intent. We've got it all covered. We will kick off our first episode with the UGA Class of 2021's very own Dr. Alfred Ewa.
Hey, Dr. Alfred Ewa. We are so glad to have you here. Can you please tell us a little about yourself?
Hey, Antoinette, thanks so much for having me. So I'm Alfred Ewa. I am a 2021 PharmDoc graduate. Happy to be back engaging with you all in this capacity. I am originally from Riverdale, Georgia, just outside of the Atlanta metropolitan area. I went to high school in Riverdale, Georgia, in Clayton County. I did my undergrad in biology at Georgia State University, and then I started in UGA for pharmacy school in 2017, did the 2+2 program in Augusta, did most of my rotations at Augusta University Medical Center, and now I am one of the two PGY1 pharmacy administration residents at Houston Methodist Hospital in Houston, Texas, and I'm also a Master of Science student in pharmacy administration leadership at the University of Houston College of Pharmacy.
Oh, that's very impressive. So when did you figure out that you wanted to do your residency program?
So particularly this residency program, it was in February of 2018 during Dr. Welch's career opportunities class. She actually brought in a speaker that was affiliated with The Ohio State University. And at the time, I was really interested in pharmacy leadership. I was the class representative of my class and just really on fire about pharmacy. So when I got to learn that you can actually make a career out of pharmacy leadership do a residency in pharmacy leadership, I was blown away. And, you know, it's uncanny. We say so many things happen for a reason, but in the next month, March of that same year in 2018, I went to the 2018 APHA annual conference in Nashville, Tennessee. And I attended a session similar to the one that we had in lecture with Dr. Welch on health system pharmacy administration. And I actually met my current graduate program director at that meeting. And she gave a speech about the leadership crisis in pharmacy. And it really talked about how most of the leaders that we have in leadership positions are in a good place to retire. So when they retire, we need somebody who is going to be able to replace them. So that has started just a number of these health system pharmacy administration leadership programs around the country. And my graduate program director just spoke really highly of her program. And she's just an incredible person. And I don't feel like I made the wrong choice being here. So that was kind of that moment that I decided I wanted to do the program. It was something that always remained on my mind. And I applied and happy to be here.
Wow, that's really surreal. I'm so glad your dream came true. And it's so surreal how you went from career opportunities to meeting your actual director and then everything just worked together. That's amazing. So can you give us like the step-by-step procedure of your experience during the residency application process?
Yes. So the process starts as early as, you know, that first rotation P4 year around the summertime. And it's really when you start to want to think about what you want to do. Even though we just say residency, there are lots of different types of PGY1 residencies that you can do. I'm not in a traditional PGY1 residency. And that's a decision that I had to make at that time is, do I want to pursue the pharmacy practice typical residency, or do I want to do the 2-year commitment with pharmacy administration and master's? So start thinking about that even with your PGY1s. Like a PGY1 in a pediatric hospital is a lot different than a typical PGY1 because you have to do the personal placement services interviews or the PPS interviews for those. So start thinking about that. And then you also want to think about, who do you want to write your letters of recommendation? You know, you start making those good impressions on your preceptors as soon as that first rotation. So think about, is this someone that would be able to speak highly on my behalf? If so, I need to really be performing well on this rotation. I mean, that should always be the goal, but performing exceptionally well and putting your best foot forward on that rotation. So it starts as early as then. And then coming around the end of that summer semester, as you progress to the fall semester and the fall rotations, now you really need to be getting people looking at your CV, finalizing all your CVs and all of your experiences that you've had in pharmacy school, making sure that looks good, getting some feedback from people on that. And then as you get deeper and deeper into the fall semester, your letter of intent writing. You don't know where exactly you're going to apply to yet, but around that time, you can start writing a general letter of intent. And when you write that letter of intent, when you're reaching out to your different preceptors, it's always good to be able to provide them a little bit of background information. So why you're interested in residency, what you feel your strengths are. So it's good to have that going early. You don't need to start writing your letter of intent right after mid-year. You can definitely start a lot early in. It's actually advantageous to do so because you can get feedback early on that. So that's kind of what that looks like before mid-year. As you do approach mid-year, if you're presenting a poster, then that's something to be cognizant about, is getting that by finalized, even before that, getting your abstract submitted to ASHP or ACCP if you're presenting at a different conference. That's another thing to be wary about. And really at the actual mid-year meeting, that's where you really want to condense your list. Typically, it's a good idea to go into mid-year with, you know, about 15 programs that you could see yourself applying to. And the goal is to narrow that list down to about 8 to 10. You narrow that list down by having conversations with people at mid-year. You say, is this someone I could, you know, really vibe with for a year? Is this a facility and a group of people I could really find myself learning and growing with and going through challenging times with? So that's the perfect opportunity to be able to narrow that down. And after mid-year, then you start finalizing those letters of intent. You start getting those letters of recommendation from your preceptors. And already by that time, you should have already asked them probably well into the fall semester. And from there, you're ready to submit your forecast application.
Thank you for giving us the insights, because me and Antoinette will be going to the fourth year very soon. And we have to like look out for letters of recommendations, trying to do posters. Like, I didn't know anything about that. So I was wondering, like, how many schools did you actually apply to?
Yes, so I only applied to 5 programs. There was a fact that I saw, and I saw that ASHP, they put out match statistics every year, and about 90% of people that match in a residency program are going to match with their top 3 programs. And then if you take it a step further into people who are matching with their top 4 programs, it's going to be about like 95. So in my personal opinion, I didn't see the need to like apply to, you know, some people do like 15 programs, and it's just already a busy time when you're trying to finish up your rotation. So that was my personal belief, which is not a, like a set in stone, you have to do it. Like, I recommend the general amount that you apply to be 8 to 10 programs, because, you know, just go based off the fact that I was saying, you might not get 5 interviews. I was lucky enough, I got an interview with every place that I applied to. So imagine if you were to apply to 15 places and get 15 interviews, that could be a lot to coordinate. And it might not be the most unprofessional thing to apply to a program. They extend you an invitation and you say, oh, you know what, I can't accept this anymore. So just keep that in mind. So the recommendation, I would say definitely 8 to 10. I did 5, but again, my programs are different also in that they're not as many programs for me to apply to, but at the same time, they're not as many positions. So like a typical PGY1 will have like 6 spots. So my PGY1 only has 2 spots, but they're less programs. So it's a little bit of a fine balance between the number of programs you're applying to versus spots that are open.
Wow, that's amazing. Do you mind describing how you prepared for the interview and how that went?
Yeah, so it can be kind of like a nerve-wracking experience because it's a lot of unknown. You don't know what to expect because every program is different in what they're going to ask you. But there are some general things that you should be cognizant about and that you should go into your interview ready to be able to talk about and explain. So first thing is, I can 100% guarantee you at some point in your interview, you're going to get asked the question, tell me about yourself. You all even asked me this question today. So be able to sell yourself, and you want to sell yourself in a succinct amount of time. You want to be able to do it as if you were in an elevator, give your elevator speech. So an elevator ride is typically no more than 1 minute. So know how to talk about yourself, explain yourself succinctly, make yourself sound interesting in about 30 seconds to a minute, because that's going to be a lot of times your first impression, and you're going to have to do it multiple times with multiple different people throughout the interview. So know yourself better than anyone else. And fun fact that I always tell people is to end your elevator speech with something cool, something that people will remember about you. So I can say all that jazz, and then I didn't do that for you all, I apologize, but I could say all that jazz and then say something cool. Like somebody, I heard somebody say like, oh, and I figure skate. Like that's like, you know, not something that you hear every day. So it just makes you sound a lot more interesting. So don't forget to have a little bit of fun with it. You can still have fun and be professional. in addition to tell me about yourself questions, you're going to get questions about, tell me about a time you made an intervention on rotation. Tell me about a time a preceptor gave you feedback that you didn't agree with. How do you manage time? What do you like to do in your free time? People want to know that you're human, so you're not a robot. So there are over 100 million questions that somebody could ask you, but there are definitely some questions that you want to know the answer to. I personally didn't feel the need to, you know, go through this big sort of checklist for questions because they can ask you anything. And it sounds a lot better when your answers are not rehearsed because you can, you know, pretty much pick out somebody who sounds like they're reading off a script. And it's become even more evident in the age of virtual interviews where I could be looking at a script right now and you really wouldn't be able to know it. So just be organic in your responses. Again, you want some things that you prepare for, but at the same time have been preparing for residency for all throughout pharmacy school. So you should know the responses to this if somebody were just to ask you on the fly.
I need to start practicing my elevator speech because if somebody asks me what do you know about myself, I'm like, I don't even know myself, but you know, I will start working on that too. And I know you touched a little bit about the match process. So like, how did the College of Pharmacy, UGA in particular, help you with the match process?
Yeah, so the College of Pharmacy has been really helpful in preparing for residency. I mean, just based off how the curriculum is set up, there are very thoughtful points in the PharmD curriculum in which you get exposed to residency. So like the 4-hour IPPE that we do during the end of our P1 year, or getting exposed to hospital IPPEs, or like the residency dinner that GSHP hosts every year. Lots of different opportunities to get exposed to residency. I can speak in particular about my 2+2 site in Augusta. We had lots of professional development events on the Augusta campus, and we would have a panel of clinical pharmacists would just get together and they would answer any questions that we had about residency, similar to what we're doing right now. And I think it's extremely helpful, like as you're actually preparing your letter of intent and your CV, to get that kind of feedback and to learn what's really helpful for you. So the College of Pharmacy has been phenomenal in doing so. And then there are just so much faculty that want to help you and want to see you succeed. You could easily reach out to any of the MAs and have them, who are just great at anything and everything literature, read over your letter of intent, read over formatting. They'd be more than happy to do that and get that back to you. So the faculty, the curriculum, the professional development opportunities have all been instrumental in being able to prepare me for the position that I'm in right now.
We all do love the Maze.
I'm gonna say that we love the Maze.
So you personally, how do you think your organizational like involvement contribute to like your ability to match in the residency programs?
Yeah, so I think that's honestly what made me stand out the most in my application, because, you know, we're all in pharmacy school. At the end of the day, we're all relatively intelligent people. I think we could all agree. So what are the extra stuff that's going to set you apart? How am I different from you? How am I different from Lillian? It's all the extracurricular activities that you do, and how you build those soft skills. How do you build those communication skills? Where are you going to build those leadership skills? The volunteer experiences that I've had have been, I can't be thankful enough. They still follow me to this day. I mean, even as GSHP president, now I'm still involved with ASHP on a national level through their new practitioner forum and their career development advisory group. So getting started on the local level and getting more involved in the state level leads you to be involved on the national level and make that connection with people around the country. And then from there, you have an expanded network with people that you're always engaged with throughout the rest of your career. And it all started at the College of Pharmacy. It all started with pinning my name out there for positions I might not have been qualified for and losing out, but then being able to learn from it and say, you know, why didn't that go well? What can I implement next time? What did I learn from that experience? So I think it's really important to be able to do all those extra things. Of course, we want to make sure that we're doing all our schoolwork, we're learning everything that we're supposed to, we're meeting expectations, and we're performing to the best of our abilities. But I wouldn't get so engulfed in that I need to be a 4.0 student, so I'm not going to do anything else that is not required of me. Because at the end of the day, if you have a student that has a 4.0, but no extracurricular activities, and a student that has a 3.5, but has spread themselves across multiple activities and can speak to so much more outside of didactic coursework, your residency program directors are going to go with that 3.5 every day, because that person has shown that they are able to balance not only their schoolwork, but they're also able to be a leader in an organization. They're able to hold a job. They have soft skills. They have interdisciplinary skills. They can do much more than just cite from a textbook and get questions right on an exam. So it's extremely important to be able to do the volunteer experiences and get involved in your student organizations.
That's definitely really insightful. I know my involvement with other organizations have really opened my eyes to what's really out there and how to help the community. And with that said, what advice do you have for students interested in applying for residency?
Yeah, so lots of advice. One thing I want to start with is always keep your mind open. You know, at the start of your pharmacy school career, you might think, you know, residency is really not for me. I got this really cool retail job back home at an independent pharmacy, and I've known the owner my entire life. I'm just going to go work there. And then you find out on your P4 rotations, you know, in November, a month before applications are due, that you really like, you know, cardiology, or you really like critical care, or you really like infectious disease. Now you're scrambling to put an application packet together to submit, and you're scrambling to trying to buy ASHP, get registered for ASHP mid-year. So always keep your mind open. You know, you never know what you might be interested in. Even if you're interested in residency, you might think you like ID and you don't like ID. And now you found out that you really love pediatrics and you want to apply to a pediatric hospital. So keep an open mind, be open to experiences. If you get your P4 schedule and there's some things that you don't like that you wish you would have gotten, it's okay. You might learn to love something that you never thought you would have. So just be open mind and embrace all the opportunities that are offered to you. And another piece of advice, it kind of goes back to our last segment on getting involved. Extremely important to get involved. I mean, that is a huge part of your residency component. I mean, only about less than 50% of my job description here at Methodist is providing direct patient care. So much more of it goes into the extra things, like I'm responsible for doing research projects. I'm responsible for being a master's student. I'm responsible for doing all the extra administrative responsibilities that come with my residency program. And just only a portion of that is being able to provide direct patient care. So again, I emphasize that it is important to have that strong, solid clinical foundation, but you're more than just the clinical knowledge. You need to be able to be a leader. It's a requirement in any residency program that you go to that is accredited by ASHP that you do a rotation in pharmacy management or pharmacy administration, because ASHP expects anybody that is doing a residency to be a leader in their own right, regardless of what title that they have after graduating their residency. So develop those leadership skills early, develop those communication skills early, develop those teamwork skills early. Another huge piece of advice that I have for you.
That is some great advice. Really appreciate that. And most of the times we do forget that, you know, it's more than just grades, and we also have to do other extracurricular activities. And I too forget that.
We are mm-hmm. so glad that you were able to make it on here, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Dr. Alfred Ewa, for such great insights. We appreciate you taking out the time to speak to us today. We hope you, our listeners, enjoyed and learned from this episode. Keep an eye out for our next episode with Dr. Becca Bruning. Trust me, you don't want to miss out on this one. As always, we want to thank you, our listeners, for your support throughout our journey. Last but not least, don't forget to stay active on our social media at UGA Farmcast19, and let us know if you have any questions, comments, ideas, or feedback. Stay awesome, stay healthy, stay safe, and go Dawgs.